We welcome you once again to our online worship service. We're glad that you've joined us together. I wish you were here physically. It's just not the same without you, but an empty auditorium is not what I want to see. But that's not possible now, to be together physically, but we're thankful for the technology that allows us to be together in this way. And it's been a couple of weeks that have been uncertain, a lot of questions. Nobody quite knows how and when this is all going to end and when things can get back to somewhat normal. And yet we do have a God who does know. Nothing's uncertain with him. And we are here to worship him today. And so we're glad that you've joined us online. We're glad that you have made this part of your Sunday morning. And we're thankful for this opportunity to worship together in this fashion. God is in control. He still loves his children. And we can worship him together. It's been a hectic couple of weeks. A lot of information thrown at us. A lot of uncertainty, as I said. So let's calm our hearts together this morning as we worship together. So just take a moment. Quietly calm your heart before him so that we can worship together. Father, again, we recognize that you do love us. We are here this morning to worship you in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, whom you sent to die on the cross for our sins. We thank you that we have salvation through him and through faith in him. And now, as we have come together in this fashion, we pray that we would worship you. There's just a lot of noise from the world right now, a lot of information being thrown at us, a lot of uncertainties, a lot of conflicting information. And yet, Father, we come humbly before you this morning. We submit to you. Because we know that you know the end from the beginning. You know all things. You are omniscient. We trust you. And I pray, Father, that we would worship you in that fashion this morning. And it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, it's good to have you here with us this morning. And we're going to enjoy singing with you, though we cannot hear you. Again, it's not the same. You see me at the piano here. The praise team sees an empty auditorium with our physical eyes, but in the spirit, yes, in the spirit, you are with us and singing with us, and we are so thankful about that. So, hey, the first song we're going to do is Above All. I ask you to join us. pray together. Father, thank you for the truth of this song. Thank you so much for your love for us, and thank you that indeed you have taken everything for us. And first, glorified Lord, glorified Father above all, and then you were thinking of us. For that time being, you put us before yourself when you went to the cross. If you put yourself first, there would be no rescue, no savior for us at this point. In fact, the devil would have won, but instead you said, your will, not mine, be done to the Father. We thank you so much for that. That's our salvation. We pray again that you continue to lead us, guide us, give us comfort, give us grace as we worship you this morning. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Son. Get set here. We're going to sing You Are My King, Amazing Love, and The King of Love.
pray together. Father, we thank you for that wonderful truth. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And though we may walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we fear no evil, for you are indeed with us. Your promise is that you would never leave us nor forsake us, and we cling to that promise. We rejoice in that promise. We thank you, Father, for your love for us. The King of love, my shepherd is. And Father, as we go through these uncertain times, we come to the one who is certain, the one with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You change not. You are immutable. We thank you that we have that stability in you, the anchor to our soul. Father, we rejoice in these truths, especially during difficult days, in uncertain days. And as we've come together in this fashion this morning to worship you, I pray, Father, that we would indeed be able to set aside the distractions that are around us. And certainly there are many. And yet you would have us to focus our attention upon you, for you alone are worthy of our praise. You alone are worthy of our worship. And Father, as we consider the pandemic all around the world, we certainly want to remember our missionaries who are all around the world as well. Every one of them, to one degree or another, have been affected by this disease. Their ministries have been affected. So, Father, we bring them before you this morning, and we pray for them. Pray that you would encourage them and strengthen them. Some of them in very difficult situations. We'd especially pray for the Ransoms this morning as they are serving you in Italy. And certainly that country has been ravaged with this disease, and we just pray for their health, their safety. Pray, Father, for the health of their church family as they serve there in Italy. We pray for Steve and Debbie Douglas as they would desire to get back home to Peru, and yet Peru has closed its borders and they're not able to get into that country. We'd ask, Father, that in your time and in your way, you would open up those borders so that they can get back into Peru and continue to minister there and to serve you there. We think, Father, of the Fries in England, and we know that this disease is beginning to have a great impact there in the United Kingdom as well. And we pray for the Fries as they serve and as they minister. May they indeed show your love to those to whom they minister. May others see Christ in them. And so, Father, we have many that we could mention, but we just bring these before you, recognizing that you are in control of your universe. You're in control of this world. And for each of our missionaries, we pray that you would calm their hearts before you, as you would calm our own hearts. And as we look to you, Father, for healing, as we look to you for answers, as we look to you for the future. And it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
For the Lord has been good to you. Be at rest once more. For the Lord has been good to you.
Psalm 46 tells us, be still and know that I am God. Psalm 46 also tells us that he is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Certainly we are in times of trouble, but we can be still and know that he is God. We can run to him for our refuge. We can be at rest, for he is good. The plans that he has for us are not for our harm, but are for our good. And we can trust him.
Thank you.
invite you this morning to turn with me to Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21 this morning. Last week we were looking at Philippians chapter 4, where we are commanded, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. We said last week that obedience to that command is not done by our own willpower, by our own self-efforts. For that kind of a joy, which allows us to rejoice always, is a fruit of the Spirit. And we're only going to have that kind of joy when we are surrendered fully to the Spirit of God in our lives and allowing that Spirit, indeed, to produce that fruit of joy in us. The bottom line is, as we said last week, that there's never a time, never a situation, never a circumstance, never a pandemic that we are not able to rejoice in the character and promises. Into that argument, the point is that life has changed. And we willingly have submitted to our government and the freedoms that they have asked us at this time to surrender. Just imagine what the Antichrist will be able to do. Not when there's just one pandemic in the world, but many pandemics in the world, and not just thousands of people dying, but billions of people dying. Just imagine what the Antichrist will be able to do to manipulate and control people at that time. People will very, very willingly submit to him because of the utter chaos that will be taking place and the pandemics that will be running rampant in this world. The Antichrist will take control. And we see just a very, very small sample of that as we go through this today. But again, as I've said, those who have trusted Christ as their Savior, those who have accepted him, will not be going through that tribulation period. We will be raptured out. We will be taken to heaven by our Savior before that time begins. And we look forward to that time. We look forward to it with great expectation and with great anticipation. We live in a fallen world. We live in a sin-cursed world. We live in a world with sickness and disease, with pain, with suffering. We live in a world with death. But as believers, we look forward to a better world, a world that is yet to come, a world without sickness, without disease, a world without pain and suffering, a world without death. Christ is coming again, and he's going to take us to that world. That's our future as believers. That's our great expectation. That's our hope, is the term that the Scripture uses. It's not a hope in the sense of I hope it happens. It's a hope that is certain. It is definite. We have a definite and certain hope that Christ is going to come again, and it's imminent. It could happen at any time. It could happen this afternoon. It could happen at any moment. And that's the promise that we have from our Lord. So in the middle of a pandemic, can we rejoice in the promise of God? Yes, we live in a temporal world with sin, with suffering, with sickness. But in the midst of that, we can look to the promise of God with great anticipation, and we rejoice in the promise of God. Many of you know that one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture is Titus chapter 2. In Titus chapter 2, we read verses 11 through 14. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a people of his own, zealous of good works. What a tremendous passage of Scripture. The grace of God. It saves us. It sanctifies us. It glorifies us. In verse 11, the grace of God brings salvation. The grace of God saves us. We're not saved by our good works. We're not saved by being good. None of us can be good enough. We're saved by the grace of God when we put faith in Jesus Christ, when we recognize that Christ died on the cross to take the penalty for our sin. And as we put our faith in Him and depend upon Him for our eternal destiny, that's when the grace of God saves us. Once we're saved, it says in verse 12 that this grace continues to teach us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust and to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. That's sanctification. Once we're saved, now our good works are important. Not that we keep ourselves saved by our good works, but out of a love for what our Savior has done for us, we want to live for Him. We want to live righteous lives to please Him. And so this grace, because God has been so gracious to us, we respond in love to Him, and we want to live for Him, and we want to serve Him, and we want to live righteous lives as we grow in our spiritual lives. And so the grace of God saves us. It sanctifies us. But then we come to verses 13 and 14. It glorifies us. As we live this righteous life for our Savior, we do so as we look for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We live with anticipation of His return. We live with that expectation. And as we live in this temporal world, we do so with eternity in view, knowing that God has promised that He'll send His Son again. And as He sends His Son, we will go back to heaven to be with Him forever. And He speaks in verse 14 that He gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity or from all lawlessness and purify unto Himself a people of His own, zealous of good works. That's our future. Sinless perfection is our future. As Christ comes again and takes us back to heaven, we will be purified. We'll be completely redeemed from all sin and from all lawlessness. That's the promise that God has given to us in the midst of a pandemic. Can we rejoice in the promise of God that we will one day be sinless, will be perfect, and in His presence? Another passage that is very important as it relates to the coming of our Savior is Philippians chapter 3. It says in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20, our citizenship is in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. Our real home is in heaven. You know, I'm proud to be an American. And as far as this temporal world is concerned, I'm very thankful that I'm a citizen of the United States. But ultimately, our real home, our real citizenship is in heaven. We've all heard the phrase, home is where the heart is. Well, our heart needs to be in heaven because that's ultimately our home. Colossians chapter 3 tells us that we need to seek those things which are above. We need to set our affection on things above. We need to be thinking on those things which are above. We need to live for eternity and not for the temporal things of this world. Certainly, we need to take life seriously. We need to fulfill the responsibilities that God has given to us in this temporal world. But nothing in this temporal world should take priority over eternal things. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 17, we read, the world is passing away and the lust thereof. But he that does the will of God abides forever. We need to have as our priority those things that abide forever. Those things that are according to the will of God, not the things of this temporal world. They should never have priority over the eternal things. Home is where the heart is. Where's your heart this morning? Is it at home in heaven? Or are you entangled with the affairs of this life and with the temporal things of this life? As believers, we are to be eagerly awaiting for our Savior. And it says here, our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. From which also we look for the Savior, or from which also we eagerly await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We look for, we eagerly await the Savior. He's already saved us through faith in Christ. We've trusted Him as our Savior. He saved us from the penalty of sin. He's saving us presently from the power of sin. That's that sanctification again. We're living more and more godly lives as we surrender to Him. So He has saved us from the penalty of sin, and He's saving us currently from the power of sin. But the Savior we're looking for in the future is the one who's going to come and save us from the very presence of sin and all of its consequences. The very presence of sin and that which sin has created here in this earth. The sickness, the disease, the death. We look for and eagerly await the Savior who's going to come and save us from this temporal world with all of its sin and all of the consequences of sin. That's the Savior we eagerly await. He goes on and says He's going to change these bodies of lowliness that they may be fashioned like unto His body of glory. When He comes again and He takes us back to heaven, He takes us out of this temporal world with all of its sin and all of its consequences, when He takes us back,